The book of Genesis, chapter number 19. And I wanted to mention, we've mentioned to pray for Lynn and Betty Cornett. He's got bone cancer and real bad off. And we went down there to Johnson City last week, and I'm just amazed that he has lived through the week. He's very bad off, and so we desire your prayers. But my mom, you know, that's her brother, and she's been going down there, her and my Aunt Merle and Clint and some of them on Saturday and Sunday and trying to help. And I wish you'd pray for Mom as well. That's really, I talked to her this morning. She said she just missed being here so bad, and but they wanted to go down there and try to help and do what they could. And so they need your prayers too. That's their youngest brother. And it's hard on them. It's hard on all of us. So you just remember her and all of them in your prayers. And I know there's always a lot to pray about. Genesis chapter number 19. We're going to read verse 27 and verse number 28. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And really there's a lot of scripture I want to deal with today in a couple of chapters here. But we're just going to begin by reading two verses. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 27. The Bible said, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings in our life. And Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here today. It's good to see each and every one. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would just take your word and speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to get something from it that'll be a help and a blessing to us, something that will encourage us, Lord, in the day and time in which we live. And Lord, we know if we're saved by the grace of God, we have much to look forward to. But Lord, this life is not without tribulation and troubles to have to go through. Lord, we pray you'd be with those that are not with us today that would love to be here, but Lord, they're just not able to. Lord, we do pray for the families that have loved ones that are sick, and we pray, Lord, that you'd help them. And God, we just ask that you give liberty and that your will be done here today. Lord, we just look to you to work and to move. And we ask, Lord, that you would just help us today as only you can. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. What I want to do this morning is to begin to go back into chapter number 18. And we're going to look at actually chapters 18 and chapter number 19 this morning. And I just want to read some verses out of these two chapters and establish in our minds a timeline. You know, a lot of times when you read the Bible, it's hard to pick up on, if you just are not paying real close attention, the time that is involved. But in chapter 18 and chapter number 19, we can definitely see that there's a time involved in these two chapters. What I mean by that, if you look at chapter 18, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Now that's midday, day number 1. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That's midday. Now go down to chapter number 18. All this happens in the same day. Chapter 18, verse number 22. "And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord." So these men turn and they begin to go towards Sodom. And then if you look in chapter 19, verse number 1, "And there came two angels." That's these same two men that it was talking about. "There came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." That is the evening of the same day that we're talking about. Then in chapter 19, verse number 4, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. That's the evening of the same day. That's that night before they went to bed. And then in chapter 19, verse number 15, the Bible said, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And so chapter 19, verse 15, that's the next morning. And so chapter number 18 and chapter number 19 covers a time period of less than 24 hours. You go from the heat of one day to early in the morning on the next day. Now, I don't believe I've ever heard a message or heard anybody preach on any kind of subject that would cause somebody to feel sorry or to have pity or compassion on the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want us to think about this just a little bit today. I mean, most people would probably look at them and what went on in that city, and they might say, well, they got what they deserved. But I want to preach today on the subject of Sodom's last day. Sodom's last day. I'm talking about the last 24 hours of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what I'm thinking about when I think about Sodom's last day, we might look at that and say, well, I didn't know anybody, and that's a long time ago. But when I think about Sodom's last day, it also reminds me that there's going to be a last day for America. There's going to be a last day for the city of New York. There'll be a last day for Boone. There'll be a last day for Raleigh. There'll be a last day for Charlotte. We think about Sodom's last day, but there's going to be a last day for all. And I want us to think about that this morning just a little bit. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "This know also then that in the last days perilous times shall come." So in the last days, there's going to be one last day of the last days. That just stands to reason today. One day will be the last day. And I want to point out some things in chapter number 18, chapter number 19. We're going to read quite a few verses and sort of explain what was going on in these chapters. But just think about that in your mind. Sodom's last day. The last 24 hours that we think about the people in Sodom. And even Abraham and Sarah and what was going on in their lives. And we'll try to point out some things. Chapter number 18. We want to say, first of all, in chapter number 18, first of all this morning, on Sodom's last day, the saints communed. The saints, talking about God's people, talking about Abraham and Sarah, they communed with the Lord. Chapter 18 and verse number 33. The Bible said, "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." The Bible said that as soon as he had left communing, that's talking about the Lord, as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. That word communing there, it means talking with, it means fellowshipping with Abraham. Now, I want to point out that Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, what we read about in chapter number 19, that is actually a type of the rapture of the church. It's a type, Lot being taken away before the fire fell, is a type of the rapture of the church. And then the fire falling on Sodom and Gomorrah is a type of the tribulation that would follow after the saints have been removed. Now, just a few hours before what happened in chapter number 19, the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, just a few hours before that, the Lord was communing with Abraham. The Lord was communing, he was fellowshipping, he was talking with his children. It may be that we're living in the last days, and I believe that we are. But just because we're living in the last days and the pinnacle of wickedness might be just about as high as it's going to get. But I've got good news for us today. If we want to worship God, God will meet with us and he will receive our worship and he'll fellowship and He'll still commune with his children. It doesn't matter how near we are or how close we are to the last days. God still desires to meet with his people. And he met with Abraham just a few hours before Sodom was destroyed. And so we say the saints commune. Number one, there was the pleasure of worship. Now chapter 18 and verse number 1. Let me point out what went on in chapter 18. The Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. This tells us a little bit about the hospitality of Abraham's day. He was out there. He was living, minding his own business, and he sees three visitors. Abraham runs out to meet them. He recognizes there's something special about them. He bows himself to the ground. He says, basically, come home with me. Rest a little while. Wash your feet. Get under the shade of the tree. Verse number 4 and verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And so that's fast food in Abraham's day. They made some biscuits. And they got a calf out of the herd, and they dressed it, and they fixed it, and they had milk and butter and biscuits and meat, and boy, that sounds pretty good to me. And if you notice in verse number 4, he said, and rest yourselves under the tree. And he said in verse number 8, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And the tree in the Bible is a type of Calvary. It's a type of fellowship, and under the cross, and what you have a picture of there, you have the Lord, and you have Abraham, and you have a meal, and you have the tree, and you have fellowship, and you have communion, and you have just a good time of worshiping the Lord there together. Now, you got to realize Sodom is getting ready to be destroyed. This is a terrible thing getting ready to take place, but even in this late hour under the tree, there's fellowship. There's fellowship between God's people and the Lord Himself. And we shouldn't think that even in these last days, and we look and there's so much bad going on round about us, don't think that the Lord doesn't want to meet with His people, because He does. John 4 and 24, the Bible says over there, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we will meet the requirements, God will still meet and worship with His children. Right up until the very last of the last of hours, God was worshiping. God was meeting with, God was fellowshipping with His children. I'm glad He still meets with us. In fact, I believe He's more anxious to meet with us than we are to meet with Him sometimes. Because I think many times we come to church or we go through the day and we are in such a hurry and such a rush, we don't want to take time or sometimes even think about how necessary it is that we would worship the Lord. But Abraham took time. And if we'd take time to prepare, and if we'd take time to set aside, and we would just take some time to sit down with the Lord, we can still worship with Him. And I felt His Spirit here this morning. It blessed my heart. I've already been blessed. I enjoy Sunday school. I enjoy the singing. I don't know why Chloe wanted to sing Jesus Loves Me This I Know this morning, but it blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. It meant something to me. I believe it was from the Lord. See, sometimes God just passes by. Abraham wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord came by and visited just the same. She got up here and I thought she was going to sing number 92. She sang Jesus Loves Me, and it meant something to me today, because today would have been Hannah's 20th birthday. And at her funeral, we sang Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you ever noticed in that song it says that though I'm very weak and ill, and it talks about that He comes to watch me where I lie while I'm sick, but He died and He made a way for us to go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to my heart and let me worship Him just a little bit this morning. God knows what we need, when we need it, and the Lord knew that Abraham was going to need some help concerning what he was about to do. The saints can still worship. And so we find the pleasure of worship was still relevant, even though Sodom and Gomorrah is about to be destroyed. Second of all, I find in chapter number 18, there was the promise of His Word. It said in chapter 18 and verse number 9, now they're communing there, they're worshiping. Abraham's worshiping under the tree. And you know where you find worship, you're going to find the Word of God. You're going to find the promises of God. And we find that even in a late hour, God made some promises unto Abraham. And He said in chapter 18, verse number 9, He said, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? He made some promises unto Abraham. Now, you got to realize Sarah was 89, 90 years old. Abraham is almost 100 years old. I could see why she laughed. I'm not going to throw off on Sarah and say, oh, ye of little faith. That's hard for me to believe. It was hard for her to believe, and she laughed. But God made a promise to Abraham 25 years before that he was going to have a son. And he come by in these last, what it might seem like, days of Abraham's life. And he reminded him one more time, you're going to have a son. And he told him this time something that he had never told him before. He said, I'm going to visit you this year. Next time, you're going to have a son by then. Abraham had waited a long time. Sarah had waited a long time. Maybe they had given up on the thought of ever having a child of their own. And they said, well, we're past having pleasure. We're old. And the angel, the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? God said, I made a promise to you and I'm going to keep it. And I'm glad God's still keeping His promises in these last days. You see, what you find if you look at the big picture in the book of Genesis is here the Son comes and the Son is promised. The promised Son is the Son is coming. He's going to be born unto Abraham and Sarah. And in chapter number 19, there's going to be what is a picture of the great tribulation. But if you read on the other side, the promised Son is going to receive His bride. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, you're still going to have a son. And not only are you going to have a son, that son's going to have a wife. He's going to have a bride. That's a picture. That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the great tribulation that'll come upon this earth, the bride is going to receive His son. And it may look today like things are very wrong, and they are, and it may look like we're not headed in the right direction, but the truth is, in the fact is that we're living in the last days, and the reign of Sodom is coming to an end, and the reign of the Savior is about to begin. And the bride is going to receive, the son is going to receive his bride on the other side of this. So even in the last days, we're thinking about the promises of the Word of God. They're still true. They're still going to come to pass. There was the pleasure of worship. There was the promise of His Word. There was the power of a warrior. We find in chapter 18 and verse 22, the Bible said, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." We find out here, and I preached on this a while back, so I'm not going to go over it again, but the Lord showed Abraham what He was getting ready to do. And the Lord revealed unto Abraham, He said, "I'm going to go down there, and if it's true what I've heard about that place, I'm going to destroy it." And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And what Abraham did, he interceded on behalf of Sodom. He prayed for the inhabitants of Sodom. And he said, "If there's 50, will you destroy it?" And the Lord said, "If there's 50, I'll not destroy it." And he said, "What if there's 45? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? The Lord said, "If there's 10 righteous people in Sodom, I'll not destroy it." We find that Abraham stood before the Lord. He interceded on behalf of Sodom. And I want to show you that even in the last days, that the Lord was still listening to His servant. And the Lord was still merciful. And the Lord was still willing to save as many as would come unto Him. Do you know the Lord is still willing to save? We might be living in the last days, and it might be few and far between, but God's still saving souls. One here, one there. God awakens their conscience. God convicts their spirit. And God is still saving, and God is still desiring. Now, look over in chapter number 19. Let me show you something. The two angels went down there. And their job was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But look what they said unto Lot in chapter 19, verse number 11. Or verse number 12. Chapter 19, verse 12. "And the men said unto Lot," that's those two angels. "The men said unto Lot, 'Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place.'" You know what those angels wanted to know of Lot? "Have you got any other family here? You got any sons?" If you add that up, they should have been more than 10 people. If you add all these people up that are mentioned here, there should have been more than 10 righteous people in Sodom. And those angels, they wanted to know, do you know of anybody that will listen? We got to get them out of here. They said in verse 13, "For we will destroy this place." Nothing was going to stop them destroying that place. But before they destroyed that place, they wanted everybody to be saved that would. You got anybody here that'll listen? You got any family we don't know about? Is there anybody, Lot, you can go and tell? You can go and warn, because we got to destroy this place. We sure want everybody to be saved that will. He said, "Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Those angels said, "Who are they? Where are they? Warn them. Go get them. Go tell them before it's too late. We're going to destroy this place." We're less than 24 hours in the last day. But in the last day, the saints communed and the saints worshiped, and the saints had the promise of His Word, and the saints still had the power of a warrior, somebody that prayed and tried to make a difference. And He did make a difference. Number one, the saints. Number two, the sinners caroused. On Sodom's last day, and the word caroused, it means a loud, raucous drinking party. The sinners caroused. I see in chapter 19 in verses 1 and 2, when I think about the people in Sodom on their last day that they were alive, I see first of all that they were clueless. It said in chapter 19 in verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them arose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. They said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Even Lot did not have, a clue of what was getting ready to take place. Lot just seen some visitors come into town, and he went out to meet him, and he said, come into the house, and you can spend the night with me, and I'll feed you, and you can wash your feet, and in the morning you can get up and go on your way. You don't want to stay here. Lot didn't have a clue what was getting ready to take place. It was just a normal day in Sodom. I'm talking about the last day in Sodom. Started out just like any other day. It was just a normal day, and the stock market opened and closed, and businesses went on as usual, and soccer practice was at 5, and then in the evening the nightclubs began to open up, and I mean it was just a normal day. You see, people have this notion that before the Lord comes, there's going to be some great event. That people have this notion in their minds, well, right before the Lord comes, right before the end of time, there'll be a warning. And people will be able to get ready and turn to the Lord. They think, well, the Bible talks about in the last days there'll be earthquakes in divers places, and there will. But let me tell you, there's been a lot of earthquakes, and people are not getting right with God. In the past 2 years, there's been a lot of talk about the blood moons and the stars and the planets and all of these things, and that has come and gone, and you know what? People still going on like they were. And if World War III breaks out tomorrow, you know what? People will just go on like they are. And there's been all kinds of plagues and Ebola, and there's been all kinds of catastrophes, and there's been all kinds of war and signs and commotion among the nations, but people are just going on like they are. And I do not believe we find any pattern in the Bible, anything in the Bible that tells us that right before the Lord comes, there'll be some great sign. In fact, we find the exact opposite of that. In Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 37, the Bible said, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There is not one great last warning of some kind. The Bible said that before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving. They weren't paying any attention to what was going on. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be some great warning. In fact, when the Lord comes the day before, I believe it'll just be another day. The Bible said in Matthew 24 and 44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There's not going to be some great warning of some kind. There's always going to be turmoil, and there's always going to be problems, and there's always going to be some kind of an uproar going on. But it'll pretty much be a normal day, and pretty much people will be clueless about it. Nowhere in the Bible, that's a false idea to say that there's going to be an earthquake and then the Lord's going to come or something like that. There's another picture of the rapture and then the tribulation in the Bible. And it's in a man named Enoch, Genesis chapter number 5. I preached about Enoch a while back. Enoch is the one that the Bible says that he was not for the Lord took him. And after Enoch was taken to heaven by the Lord, the flood came upon the earth. That is a type of the rapture of the church and then the tribulation coming. In Enoch's time, he just went up, got up, and it's just a normal day, and he went for a walk, and then he didn't come home one day. The Lord took him. Nothing happened out of the ordinary. And they probably went out and looked around for Enoch like they went around and looked for Elijah. But the Lord took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind again. Nothing out of the ordinary. They were clueless. It was just an ordinary day. The sinner's carouse. They were clueless. Number two, they were careless. In chapter 19, in verse number 4, the Bible said, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." You wonder why Sodom and Gomorrah has such a bad reputation. It's because of what happened right here. These men came into the city, and the men of Sodom, they gathered around that evening, and they went to Lot's house, and they knocked on the door, and they said, "Those men that you've got spending the night, bring them out. We want to know them." That means in a sexual way. That's what they had a mind to do to these visitors. Verse number 6, the Bible said, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof, and they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." And we see that these men were very careless, and they didn't care about what they were getting ready to do. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8 that Lot was a righteous man. We wouldn't know that he was a righteous man except that the New Testament told us so. But it said that it, as far as Lot goes, that what he saw and heard in Sodom, that it vexed his righteous soul. It bothered him what was going on. He didn't do anything about it. But it still bothered him. But in Sodom, it wasn't just that one thing that was going on. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, it says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." What was going on in Sodom was not just sexual sin. But he said about Sodom, "This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. And in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." What was going on in Sodom is that, and see if this doesn't sound like our country and other countries in the world. Pride, fullness of bread, they had more than they knew what to do with. Abundance of idleness was in her. Now, you hear people say that the Bible says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That is not in the Bible. But an abundance of idleness is mentioned in the Bible. And that's where that comes from. They had that in Sodom. They had so much free time. You can have so much free time, and man being lost finds something wicked to do, not something good to do. And there was an abundance of idleness. It said they were haughty, which again means full of pride, puffed up about it, and committed abomination before me. There was a lot of things going on bad in Sodom. And they were clueless about what was getting ready to happen to them. They were careless. They just did not care about what was going on. They didn't care about what they were getting ready to do. And Lot himself, I mean, to me, for a man to take his daughters and say, here, take my daughters and do with them, he's pretty clueless too. They were clueless, they were careless, they were calloused. To be callous means to be hardened in mind, to be unsensible, to be unfeeling. Now, Lot was one of these fellows that called everybody brother. Have you ever noticed that? And he told these men in verse 7, he said, and I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. In verse number 8, and I read that, he said, I have two daughters, take them. Verse number 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. And verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I would like to see that in life, wouldn't you? They grabbed Lot, pulled him back in the house. They caused the men to be blind. They're angels. They were blind in two ways. They were blind physically, but before they were blind physically, they were blind spiritually. And they could not see. They were callous to their condition. They were belligerent. They were boastful. They were bragful about their condition. They said in verse number 9, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. You know, they even knew then, judge not that ye be not judged. A lot of people don't know any verse in the Bible, but they know that. Judge not that you be not judged. And they allowed Lot to live there unmolested as long as Lot kept his mouth shut about what they were doing. And the first time that Lot raised a voice and said, brethren, do not so wickedly, they said, who does he think he is judging us? Now we're going to deal worse with him than we were with those fellows. Boy, Lot's in trouble. They were belligerent about their actions. Verse number 12, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. As soon as Lot sees what's getting ready to take place, he begins to try to witness to his family. He goes to try to save people in his family. And he goes evidently in the middle of the night and he says, up! Get up! God's going to destroy this place. And do you see how they reacted to Lot? They laughed at him. He said, he seems like one that's mocking. Oh, Lot, he's crazy. Old Uncle Abraham's finally got through to him and he's talking like that old nut that lives out in the tent, out in the desert. What's gotten into Lot, crazy old man? They wouldn't listen to what Lot had to say. Sort of like today when you try to witness to somebody, warn somebody, and you pretty much get nowhere. They were belligerent about it. They were laughing about it. They laughed right in Lot's face. That happens even today. If you talk to somebody about the Lord or the Lord coming or it being the last days, I've had people almost laugh at me. You really believe that? Yes, I believe that. I believe that. You're crazy. That's how they treated Lot. We find that the sinners carouse. They went right on about their business. You realize their time is quickly running out. But they didn't pay any attention. The sinners carouse. Number 3, the sentence commenced. What I want to say about this is, number 1, there was a rescue. Now, if you look in verse 15, the Bible said, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Those angels, before they could do anything, they had to make sure Lot was out of the city. And I want to point out that in verse number 16, God did answer Abraham's prayer. God was merciful unto the righteous that were there. There were not 10, there were not enough people there to save the city, but God still saved the righteous people that were in it. In verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. His wife, his daughters, they said, "Get out of here." They escorted them out of the city. There was a rescue. In verse number 22, the Bible said this, that the angel said, "Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither." The angel said, "Get out of here. I cannot destroy this place until you're gone." Some people say that the church is going to go through the tribulation. I say the church is not going to go through the tribulation. That is a picture right there. The saints had to be gone. He said, "I can't do anything till you're gone." The tribulation in the Bible, when it talks about the tribulation in Jeremiah chapter 30, it is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob being the representative of the Jewish people. The tribulation is going to affect more than anybody the nation of Israel. But the church is going to be gone from the earth. And Lot is a type of the last days church. While he lingered, while he messed around, while he didn't take the things of God seriously enough, God still had to get him out of there before he could do anything. That's the Lord being merciful unto us. And there was a rescue before the sentence was commenced. And number two, there was a rain, R-A-I-N. Look in verse number 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. Now it wasn't a rain of water. But he rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Man, that's bad. That's fire come down out of heaven, and what is what that's a picture of. And it burned up everything and every inhabitant, and even, the Bible said, that which grew upon the ground. What we learn from this passage of Scripture is that judgment is coming. And there's nothing going to stop it. God's wrath will eventually fall upon the earth, and there's not one thing that can be done about it. Amen. Except for people to escape as individuals. That people would listen to the message of God. Flee while there's opportunity. Escape the wrath while there's an opportunity. Because judgment was coming. And they said, "God sent us here to destroy the place. There is a rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah of fire from the Lord out of heaven." That's what it says in verse 24. But also there was a revealing in verse number 26. The Bible said this, "But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt." There was a revealing. Do you know, God is very specific about who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. Nobody is going to escape that's not saved. Now, Mrs. Lot here, if you'd have thought anybody had been saved, you might have said, well, I thought Mrs. Lot was. But Mrs. Lot, her heart was not with Lot. Her heart was not with the things of God. Her heart was back in Sodom. She was not a child of God. She was a child of the world. And even though it seemed that she was going to escape, she looked back. Wonder why she looked back. Did she leave something that she loved? Did she wonder what was going to happen on Young and the Restless that afternoon and she was going to miss it if she wasn't there? I don't know, but there was something back in Sodom. And the angel said, whatever you do, don't look back. See, you can go about and put on a show and talk about being a Christian and talk about going to church and talk about being around the people of God, but God knows what's really in our hearts, if we really know Him or not. And Mrs. Lot didn't know Him. The Bible doesn't say what her name was. Over in the New Testament, all it says about her is remember Lot's wife. It says here his wife looked back from behind him. She was judged as well. There was a revealing of what was actually in her heart. The sentence commits, the fire fell. Lot's wife did not make it out after all. And last of all this morning, there's the smoke of the country. We started out in verse number 27. The Bible said, and Abraham got up early in the morning. Now, remember what happened? As far as Abraham knows, he did all that he could. And he prayed and he interceded before the Lord. And he said, if there's 10 righteous, will you save the place? And the Lord said, if there's 10, I'll not destroy it. And the evening had fell and dark came and the night. And the Bible said the next morning, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He went out to his prayer place. Verse 28, the Bible said, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. You know, life is not like TV. Everything's not fixed in 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. What this reminds us of as we study the Bible and even as we look out at our own country and our own lives and our own families, it is a reminder of the reality of the wrath of God. Yes, there's the love of God. And I see the love of God in this. He tried to save as many as He could. But the wrath still came. The wrath of God is a reality. Sin has to be judged. It's a reminder of that. It is a reminder of the urgency of our work. Lot should have started working before the last hour. He should have been working on his family all along. In fact, Lot should not have had his family down there if we really studied about it. But it's a reminder of the urgency of our work that none of us knows when the last day, whether it's a last day in the coming of the Lord or the last day before somebody dies, we don't know. But we're reminded of the urgency of our work. We're reminded of the mercy of God that He did want to save those people. But they wouldn't listen. As we look in Genesis chapter number 19 and what took place, it makes me think that who would have thought, I mean, as Abraham stood and looked out over the land and it looked like the smoke of a furnace. Do you think even Abraham was surprised at the severity of it? Do you think that maybe Abraham thought to himself, who would have thought that just 24 hours ago, I stood in this very spot and asked the Lord to have mercy on that town, and now it's just a smoking. See, we go on and on, we think nothing's ever going to change, but things do change. Not everybody can remember 9/11 when it took place, but those of you that are old enough and you remember, I think everybody probably remembers where you were and what you were doing when 9/11 took place. Do you remember how that you, probably nobody remembers what went on the day before. Just a normal day. But I remember when one of our church members called us in Idaho and said, "Pastor, have you seen what's going on?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "You need to turn the TV on." And in 24 hours, everything in our nation changed. Everything. That was small in comparison to what we read about in the Bible. Do you remember a few years ago? And I'm telling you, one of these days, things is going to change drastically. And it's just going to be a normal day. We think about the rapture of the church. We think about the saints of God being called home. Some places in the world, that'll cause great turmoil. Some places, people won't bat an eye. Do you remember, I think it's been a couple of years ago, and I think it was a jetliner out of Malaysia. I think it was headed into Japan or China. I think it was China. And you remember, it's 200, almost 300 people on that plane, and they just flat out disappeared. Does anybody remember that? And they looked and they looked and they searched and they searched and they still don't know what happened to those people. See, the world is already used to strange things happening. One of these days, there's going to be a whole lot of people disappear and they'll say, "Well, you know, it's sort of like that airliner. We just don't know what happened." And then they'll just go on and go on. And judgment comes. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.